You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond, and joining me in the studio is Connor Campbell from SpreadX. Connor, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you.
Super. Well, we're going to go straight to your slides, and we're going to start off with the FTSE. So how's that looking?
You know, it's sort of stagnating a bit, really. It's going through one of its classic, you know, do-nothing periods. It really desperately needs a shotting of the arm at the moment, you know, to lift it back towards, you know, so even just to 7,300. It needs a bit of a boost. The fact that it sort of was sitting at 7,300 but couldn't break towards that 7,350 mark and, you know, hit a new all-time high sort of suggests that perhaps investors, they're happy to see it there, but they're not quite confident enough in it to push it any higher. They maybe don't see there's any justification for it to hit new all-time highs at the moment. You've seen it sort of been trickling lower the last couple of sessions. You know, it hasn't helped that Monday and Tuesday there hasn't been much for it to do. You know, the main thrust of its week is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, with the manufacturing, construction and services PMIs. So they're all meant to sort of dip slightly. Now, that's based on analyst estimates, and they haven't been particularly accurate in the last couple of months. However, there has been, you know, reports of a slowdown in the first quarter and evidence of that in the fourth quarter. I think in the fourth quarter report last week, there was signs that things were slightly slowing down for the FTSE, for the UK economy after holding strong post-Brexit. If there's further signs of that, you know, it could work in the FTSE's favour. It tended to be recently that the pound has absorbed any negative data, and that's given a little thrust to the FTSE. Yeah. But that has run out a bit slightly, and even with a negative pound, as we saw yesterday, the FTSE sort of struggling to do anything with it at the moment. We've seen that kind of mixed behaviour from our clients as well. You know, recently they've been firmly selling around the 7,300 mark. It's a bit more mixed. I'd say they're probably erring still on the side of selling, but isn't quite as confident. I think it reflects the FTSE in general. So no one really knows what to do with it at the moment, and that's, you know, shown by how our clients are behaving.
Okay, let's move over to the States and the Dow Jones. And I suppose all eyes are going to be on Trump's meeting with Congress later today and what will happen after he speaks, because all eyes are on the economy in the US.
Exactly. You know, you've already had him come out and say, I think it's going to be a 10% increase to the defense budget. You know, that's helped on the defense stocks this morning in the UK. I imagine it will help the help them in the US as well.
But it's against the environment and also cutting
foreign aid, which sadly I doubt many investors are too fussed about, really. I think, you know, that defence boost is probably, you know, green light for more gains. I think bigger issues tonight will be if he doesn't provide any details on tax reform or fiscal stimulus, you know, two of the big things he's promised, two of the big things that have helped push the Dow Jones, you know, to 20,800 and above. If he doesn't provide any sort of meat around those issues, it could see the Dow Jones, you know, stumble away a bit, really. You know, its gains have slowed down in the last week or so. The last few sessions, it's been maybe a bit more sluggish than it was. I think it's looking for a sign from Trump. Whether it gets it tonight or not, you know, he's not the most reliable person in terms of, you know, the nitty-gritty and detail. Yeah. From our clients' perspective, I think that's what they're betting on, really. They've been selling quite aggressively at the Dow's current levels. I think they're sort of just looking for a disappointment. If not today or tomorrow, then in the future. I don't think that our clients haven't fancied the Dow Jones at these levels for a while. I guess if you look at the chart, it's climbed so spectacularly that there is plenty of room for it to have a tumble, and, you know, it could fall 800 points and it's still above 20,000, which is, you know, in and of itself impressive, but does give room for our investors to make a bit of money from it having a bit of a tumble.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on, and we're looking at ITV.
ITV, it's been a bit mixed recently. As you can see from the chart, there's across, you know, October and November, the sort of Sterling's autumnal slump was a big issue for ITV, as it's been for many other, you know, British-based companies. Yeah. Recently, it's done well. At the start of the year, it sort of received a boost. There's plenty of takeover reports from, you know, maybe Netflix or Apple or Amazon. You know, companies looking to perhaps getting into more traditional elements of TV, despite, you know, changing the game perhaps elsewhere. Nothing has come of that so far, which sort of leaves ITV with a not particularly great full-year report on Wednesday. In its third quarter, ad revenue fell 4%. That was down to not only sort of bad comparisons with the previous year's third quarter, where it had been boosted by the Rugby World Cup, but also it claimed that advertisers have been more cautious since the Brexit. They also said that was set to continue in the fourth quarter, where ad revenue is set to fall, you know, an even greater 7%. That's not a great figure at all. That's going to drag ad revenue down for the year, down 3%. Other aspects of ITV are okay. Studios' production division is doing quite well, and that's taking on increasing prominence in the company, and will likely have to if the ad revenue situation remains a bit dodgy.
Because terrestrial television, it is almost finished, isn't it? Everyone's going for on-demand, online. So it's,
and I think if ITV can boost its sort of production division and can sell shows to, you know, Netflix and Amazon and things like that, that's a new source of revenue where, you know, ad revenue might be failing. I think investors are also going to be interested to see if that advertiser cautiousness has led into the first quarter. If it has, I don't think they're going to react very well to this report on Wednesday. Profits only expected to drop 1.5% to 830 million. That's not great, but it's not as bad as it could be given how chunky the fall in ad revenue has been. From our clients' perspective, they've been buying just above that £2 mark. I think ITV was so sort of gloomy back in earlier in the year, back in October, that there's room for it to post something a bit better than expected. And if it does, it could lift, you know, lift above that the 210 mark. I think that's what our clients are looking for.
Okay, so let's move on to Merlin Entertainment. So I'm surprised to see it up, but it's obviously got over what happened in Alton Towers and the horrifying Smiler crash.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that last week, that £5 mark, that's the first time Merlin's crossed that in its history. Yeah. In the last few years, I think his IPO was 2013 or something. So, you know, it's done well in the last few months. And that's despite a pair of pretty negative updates in September and November. In September, it said that wider security concerns, you know, based on events in Paris and elsewhere, had sort of suppressed interest in its city centre attractions. I think growth had fallen 0.4% across the third quarter. You know, that affects things like Bantoozled, you know, other things like that. And it also said that it hadn't seen any material impact from Sterling's slump. I think there had been reports that maybe the weaker pound will draw more tourists to Merlin's sort of, you know, impressive portfolio of attractions. It hasn't done that, and I think that was one of the reasons why investors were disappointed in September. November, it sort of echoed that outlook, but it did say that its profit was in line with forecast. That should be a 9.2% rise year on year to 273 million. That's far better than the 0.3% growth it managed in 2015, you know, as it continued to be affected by the Alton Towers crash. You know, it's not doing great, but if it can hit that profit target, and if it can update on things like its sort of global Legoland expansion, you know, Legoland is increasingly important for Merlin Entertainment. I think they're intending to open new attractions in New York and Dubai and places like that, and maybe Japan. If it can say that those are going to perhaps be open in the next year, investors might be quite pleased with it. Our clients have been buying around that £4.95 mark, but there have been a few sellers around that £5 mark. I think just because, you know, it's climbed quite aggressively in the last few months, and there is perhaps room for it to tumble a bit if things don't go its way on Thursday.
Absolutely. So our final slide.
Capital, you know, Capital was the worst performing stock in the FTSE 100 last year. I think it shed 56% in value across 2016. Most of that come in the second half of the year. You can sort of see from the chart, in September, it issued a profit warning based on the impact of Brexit. Stock fell 27% in a single session. As we were talking about with IT, as Sterling fell in October and November, Capita continued to fall. Then in December, it issued another profit warning, basically, sort of trimmed its profit guidance for the second time in 3 months. Also announced that it was selling its asset services division, which comprises, I think, 8% of the company's revenue. So investors weren't happy at all. I think that December comment sent it to a 10-year low. Since then, you know, it's climbed around 5%, you know, but that sounds decent for, you know, for a few months, but considering it's at 550 and at the start of 2016, I think it was trading at 13 or 14 pounds, it's had an absolutely horrific 12 months. However, that does, like ITV, give it room to sort of impress investors with not a lot of good news. I think in December it said that it was aiming for a profit of £515 million for 2016. If it can, you know, hit 520, 525, you know, investors might be sated for now, and it might be able to climb back towards that £6 mark. It does face a tough task on its hands to convince investors that the worst is over. I think they've got a new CEO that took over in September. You know, awful time to take over, but perhaps if he can outline some kind of new plan, update on the various things they stated in December, like the assets, the services division sale, investors might be willing to give it a shot, given how low it is. Our clients have been buying around that 550 mark, again, I think, because it's just so low. Again, though, not a great week for Capital. I think it's probably going to be kicked out of the FTSE 100 with the FTSE 100 reshuffle this week. You know, that alongside EasyJet, a couple of the key companies potentially given the boot into the FTSE 250. But like I said, our clients are sort of, I think, fishing around for a bargain, perhaps.
Super, Connor, thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
And before we get, before we finish, let's end with the trade of the day.
Oh, I don't know. I guess perhaps Capita, just because it's looking so low and there's not going to take a lot for it to impress investors, given just it can avoid something as disastrous as the September and December updates, and, you know, in comparison, investors will likely be, you know, happy.
Yeah. Okay, super. Connor, thank you. Connor Campbell there from SpreadX.